Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai, your host for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. My guest today is Joanna Brody. Joanna is an award-winning communications professional with distinct expertise in social marketing and a passion for promoting causes and issues. Joanna's firm is Brody Public Relations. She works with clients who are making a difference in this world and has spent 25 years in public relations and communications, creating a variety of successful programs for government agencies, social enterprises, professional associations, and nonprofit organizations in a variety of disciplines, everything from education, business management, public safety, emergency management, crisis communications, the whole shebang. Joanna's campaigns have earned awards from the Publicity Club of Los Angeles and the Communicators Award for Excellence. Joanna has also received both regional and statewide innovation awards from the American Cancer Society for her Discovery Shop Home Party concept, designed to reach out to high net worth individuals. Joanna, how long have you been in the business? If I'm reading this correctly, you've got quite a resume behind you.
Yes. What year is it? Okay, 25 years, which is right. Hard for me to believe, but yes.
Well, I know that I don't like to structure our conversations too hard, but public relations is like one of my greatest weaknesses. I know how to do certain things well in the whole nonprofit management thing, but in terms of reaching out to make sure that I can tell the story, I think I only personally do half of that well. I think I tell the story well. I don't know that I'm actually getting it to the right people. So I was hoping maybe we could talk about that. How do you, on the one hand, how do you craft the right story? And on the other hand, how do you make sure that the right folks are receiving it?
Sure. Great. Okay. Well, yes, I like to say that I'm actually in the storytelling business. As you made reference to, public relations is often a hard discipline for people to grasp. And I just saw a really funny little thing from our industry about now that all these PR professionals are working from home, do their kids now understand what they do? And we're in the business of storytelling and communicating with the target audiences. And there are usually several, particularly for nonprofits, the target audiences that will benefit your organization. And so there's multiple audiences for a nonprofit. There are the people or the issues that the nonprofit serves. And then, of course, there are donors, because nonprofits are in the business of raising money in order to keep going. And there's volunteers are also a separate audience for nonprofit organizations. Sometimes there's crossover between volunteers and donors. And then, of course, your staff and your internal audience, you have to pay attention to them as well. So, when I talk about storytelling, what we talk about is putting a human face on whatever cause or issue. And the old adage of show, don't tell is really important in public relations, particularly in nonprofit PR, because you don't want to just tell your audiences what your organization is about and what causes you are promoting and what issues you're trying to solve. But you want to show them, and you want to show them who's benefiting from the programming that your nonprofit is doing. I've worked with children's arts organizations, and so we'll often feature some of the children who've been through those programs and how it's affected them as adults. Like, what did they bring with them from that artistic education that this nonprofit provided to them? The same thing with the teachers. We'll go to the teachers and say, okay, how is this making a difference in your classroom?
Painting a picture with words is the essence of the whole thing, right? So you have to make sure that you've got writer? Is that the right term? Do I need to be a good writer to be a good PR person?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is one of the number one skills that I tell people that they'll need to be a good communicator. And, we talk about, when I say show, don't tell, it's like you're putting a human face on the issue. You are giving, and I am very, I'm a stickler for authenticity when it comes to telling these stories. So we will get testimonials from, you know, people and other kinds of things that have benefited from the nonprofit. And I will take it as it is. You know, I won't manipulate it. I won't massage it. I will take it as authentically as it comes from the people who are giving us their stories, because I believe that that's the most valuable way to communicate with the audiences and gain their support and gain their trust.
Right. So if I'm a nonprofit executive and I want to up my PR game, mm-hmm. Sure, I need to be able to tell the story. And I've heard some people say things like, don't tell a story without numbers and don't show me the numbers without a story. Would you say that that's valid? And then once I've got that down, what is the right balance and what are the channels like? I guess the other adage is know your audience, right? So obviously you craft each message to the audience, but what are some things that if I'm just starting my public relations game, should I be sure to be keeping track of?
Okay, there are several questions there.
Yeah.
So in terms of numbers versus stories, absolutely. You need a mix of statistics. How many people are you serving? How has it changed their lives in what way? You need a mix of statistics as well as the storytelling, for sure. I think a good rule of thumb is to start with the story first and then to sprinkle in the statistics as you go through the story, because the story is what's going to grab people. What else was your question? Oh, if you're just starting out. Know your audience. Yeah, sometimes, you know, there's going to be different stories that you're going to tell to your donors, who are a completely different set of people than the people who are going to volunteer for your organization, who may not have the financial means to support your cause, but they have time and they have talent that they can contribute, which is different than dollars. So you definitely, there's the overarching message of what your organization does and why you need people to support it. Mm-hmm. But then there are targeted messages depending on your audience. And, several years ago when the internet became, I'm definitely dating myself, when the internet became such a powerful, way to reach people and became the baseline way to reach people. And then social media came in. Mm-hmm. Some of my nonprofit clients, all nonprofits struggle with budgets. Some of them would say, well, do we still need to send out a fancy printed newsletter? You know, if we're reaching people via social media and e-blast, do we still need a fancy printed newsletter? And I would tell them, and I still tell them the same thing today. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You need all those channels of communication, because a wealthy 80-year-old donor who is the, philanthropist who runs a foundation is probably not on social media. And they're probably not even, reading email regularly. So those are the people that will look at a nice newsletter and read it thoroughly and will, be affected by that piece of communication versus someone in their 20s or 30s who is on social media all the time, and you're going to reach them that way. So not only do you have to tailor your message to your different audiences, but you also have to reach your audiences in multiple ways.
And again, thinking of too many things at once here, the barrier to entry to be able to do good distribution of the message has gotten really low with social media. Like, it doesn't really cost a whole lot to get into the baseline Facebook messaging or, Snap. What is the new one?
Instagram.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Tells you how old I am. but what about, what should a nonprofit keep in mind about, like Facebook's ad structure, the fee structures for stuff like that. And I've heard both pros and cons towards giving money to Facebook to help promote a message that way. And what do you think about those kinds of things?
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not an expert in paid social media engagement. I do work with people who have that expertise, but you know, it's often a low investment for a high return, because if you do it right, and again, there's experts that do this. It's a modest amount of money for boosting. But the other thing to remember about social media is, I think there are some people and organizations, particularly who have limited resources, who think, you know, okay, if I just start posting stuff, if all I need to do is post. Posting is great, and of course you have to do that, but there's a whole art and science to the back end of social media in terms of engagement and going after followers. Followers is not just a number game. It's also a quality game. Like, who is actually following you? Are they part of your target audience? Are they influencers in your field? So, just like with in the old days of mailing out press releases, where we used to just mail press release to every media outlet.
Right.
You can't just mail it and assume that somebody's going to pick it up and say, hey, this is the best thing I've heard of since sliced bread. I'm going to do story. Right. You got to do the back end follow up. And it's the same with social media.
So what is the backup follow up? I mean, I guess it changes per channel and per audience, but what does that look like? Is it a very time intensive thing?
Absolutely. It is a time intensive thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that is one of the big, sort of surprises, if you will, about PR and communications, that crafting the message and distributing it is just the first step, or first and second step, I should say. You've got to do the follow-up. You must do the follow-up. And when people talk about, you know, oh, we'll just do a one-time shot. You know, we have an interesting story to tell. We'll just, you know, we'll just send out a press release. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's a great start, but you got to invest the time and you got to give it time to generate return. That's the other thing. Unless you are in a very, very, very time sensitive situation with a potential media story, or even with your social media, you can't expect it to generate much return in terms of PR value without giving it time, doing the proper follow-up. And sometimes you think the time is right, and then something shifts in the landscape, you know, of the media news cycle, or a disaster happens and shifts everybody's focus. You know, so you can't expect a one-shot deal to generate much.
Right. Right. No, I suspect it's like anything else. You have to put your stuff out there with some predictability and with some regularity. Mm-hmm. But is that the backup thing that we're talking about? Because what else are the activities that comprise backup? Like, if I actually have a campaign, let's say I'm an individual or a part of an entity that has daily content that I'm releasing via Facebook. Mm-hmm. What does the back end follow up look like for that? Or is the back end simply doing it with repetition?
It's continuing to engage. It's keeping content fresh. It's being consistent. Mm. It is being consistent, but then also keeping it fresh. So, you know, every nonprofit has its main messages, you know, its key messages. And that's something that we work with nonprofits on, is what are your key messages? What are you about? What issues are you solving? And how are you changing people's lives? So those are the standard messages, but then you've got to keep the content fresh with different success stories, different testimonials, different, you know, news that that will keep people interested. And then you also have to do the follow-up engagement. So if somebody engages with you in social media, you got to engage back again to keep the dialogue going.
Right. Right. That's what I was looking for. You have to keep the dialogue going. That makes a ton of sense to me. It can never be a one-ended conversation.
Yeah.
That makes a ton of sense to me. So I'm going to try to recap here. Please tell me what I'm forgetting.
Okay.
Be a good writer. Mm-hmm. Know your audience so that you can craft a good story for the audience. Balance the story out with some statistics. Statistics. Deliver the message in a very genuinely heartfelt way. Mm-hmm. And deliver the message with some consistency, some regularity. And if people get to be in touch with you because of that messaging, make sure you never leave those conversations alone. Always follow up and come back to the original board with more and fresh content to keep people engaged and interested in what you're doing. How did I do?
You did great. You did great. I'm going to add one more thing to your list, which is definitely a communications function. It's also a development function, but don't forget to thank your supporters. It's very important.
Critically important. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Joanna, this is really good. I think that we still have plenty more to talk about, but we've run out of time for this one episode. Okay. If it were appropriate, how would a listener contact you to ask questions or learn more about the art of PR?
Thank you so much. My website is www.brody-pr.com. So that's brody-pr as in public relations.com.
Fantastic. Thank you. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us as always. We hope you find this content useful. We're always looking for your suggestions on future guests and topics that we might have on the Nonprofit Snapcast. And you can always reach me via the Nonprofit Snapcast website. That's nonprofitsnapcast.org with those suggestions. In the meantime, we hope you're all staying safe and we'll join you with another episode in a few days. Thank you.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.